بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: اتقوا الظلم فإن الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة، واتقوا الشح فإن الشح أهلك من كان قبلكم. حملهم على أن سفكوا دماءهم واستحلوا محارمهم، رواه مسلم. Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, abstain from oppression, for verily oppression will constitute several layers or extreme darkness on the day of judgment. And likewise, the second part of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wattaqu shuh, abstain from greed. As we mentioned, shuh is a higher level of miserliness. The actual prohibition which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah is discussing in this chapter is the prohibition from miserliness in every form. And ulama ikram have mentioned that shuh is miserliness coupled with greed. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, abstain from that. فَإِنَّ الشُّحَ أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ. Because this is something that destroyed the nations before you. There are certain types of sins wherein we find this type of prohibition and warning in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take ibrat, take lesson, take heed, take warning from the nations of the past, because these spiritual maladies led to the destruction of those nations. One such spiritual malady is excessive greed, as we said, coupled with miserliness. This is something that destroyed the nations of the past. حَمَلَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ سَفَكُوا دِمَاهُمْ وَاسْتَحَلُّوا مَحَارِمَهُمْ. It caused them, or it prompted them, to shed the blood of others. And those things which were prohibited, this caused them to render these things permissible. In other words, they made halal that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited. Also, what is meant by maharimahum is what we call hurumat, those things which are sanctified in Sharia, the dignity and honor, personality of a fellow human being. This is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made sacred, and we are not supposed to in any way harm this. Whereas excessive greed, miserliness, leads to where a person sheds the blood of others, and likewise those things which are sanctified, which are sacred, no more barriers exist for a person who is overtaken by excessive greed. Sufficient, as we discussed quite a few ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pertinent to this, and a little bit of extra time was spent discussing this topic, because as we mentioned previously, we find the nature of man is such that we tend to lean towards miserliness and generosity, the ability to spend that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. This is something that requires mujahada. We have to be a little bit hard on ourselves. But we find that the reward is very, very great. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like ulama say, they say Allah's dosti, Allah's friendship with a miserly person will never ever be truly realized. Despite his ibadat, despite the excessive worship that he may make of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gain the true closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to break down the barriers of miserliness that are there in our nature. Inherently they are there. We have to make this attempt to override them. And even though our level of ibadat may not be so much, but if we are counted amongst the generous, then very, very quickly, very easily, this will draw the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will get the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will lead to an affinity with the poor. This is why we find the next chapter, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, as we mentioned, there's generally a link between the chapters. The next chapter, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah brings Babul Ithar wal Muwasat. Ithar means to give preference to others over yourself even when you are in need. Ithar, to give preference to others. Muasat means mutual sympathy, to empathize with the plight of others. We find that generosity will be inculcated in a person and he will be able to abstain from miserliness if he feels the plight of the poor, if he is in contact with the poor, if he is exposed to the needs of others. Unfortunately, we find that we tend to surround ourselves with people of an equal financial status to ourselves or those that are on a higher plane than ourselves, and this is why we are constantly looking at what others have, so we desire more and more for ourselves. The culture of Shariat, the mizaj and temperament of Shariat is to surround yourself with the poor, link and create affinity with the poor, feel their plight, feel their pain, feel their hardship. Currently, almost daily, we are being exposed with social media, etc., to the plight of our brothers and sisters in Palestine. We see what is going on in China. We see what is going on in Kashmir. We see what is going on in Syria. We see throughout the world that the Muslims generally are suffering. On the one hand, whilst Iman demands that we feel this pain, we feel this hurt in our hearts, we make dua for them. But it should not just be that. We should be digging deep into our pockets. And whatever little we can, depending on our financial status and situation, we should freely spend upon those that are in need. One is to make dua for their plight, the other is to spend upon those that are in need. Obviously, the ideal would be if you could actually assist them. But obviously, circumstances being such, you're not able to assist them. But financially, reliably, if money could be sent to assist the plight of the poor throughout the world, wherever Muslims are suffering. And likewise, even in our own locality, in our own towns, whether it's Muslims, whether it's non-Muslims, we find with this pandemic that has occurred, this has created a very real need amongst the poor. So dig deep in our pockets. This is the mizaj and temperament of Shariat. A Muslim does not have an ostrich mentality. A Muslim doesn't put his head in the ground and pretend like he doesn't know what's going on around him. And what is even worse is when Muslims become extravagant on their weddings, become extravagant in their lifestyle, become extravagant in their dressing, etc., and openly show their opulence. When on our doorstep people are in poverty, people are in hunger, people are in strife, people are in difficulty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala greatly dislikes this. Allah ta'ala dislikes miserliness in any form. The highest jannat, ulama say, is jannatul firdaus. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us, when you make dua for jannat, he said, salullah al firdaus. Don't just ask Allah for jannat. Don't just ask Allah for jannat. Ask Allah for firdaus. Ask Allah for the highest jannat. This is that jannat. It's mentioned in riwayat that from the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it, Allah sealed it off. No angel of Allah even sees this jannat. Such a jannat it is. And every day, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَدْخُلُ جَنَّةَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ فِي الْيَوْمِ خَمْسَ مَرَّاتِ فَيَقُولُ إِزْدَادِي طِيبًا لِأَوْلِيَائِي إِزْدَادِي حُسْنًا لِأَوْلِيَائِي. Allah commands this jannat 5 times every day. Become more beautiful. Become more attractive. Become more sanctified. Become more opulent. Allah is making this jannat more beautiful every day 5 times. Now if we contextualize this, there are different estimates as to how old the universe is. Some scientists say 13.7, 14 billion. There's even one opinion, 23 billion years. If you take the conservative estimate, the universe is 14 billion years. Billion years. According to this hadith, every day for the last 14 billion years, Allah has been commanding this jannat every day 5 times to become more beautiful. Palaces are becoming more beautiful. The fruit are becoming more attractive. The streams, the rivers, whether of wine, whether of honey, whether of milk, whether of water, the women of this jannat, the attractions of this jannat. Our iman demands that we accept this, we believe in this. That 5 times every day it's getting more and more beautiful. And yet, it's mentioned in the riwayat, Allah Ta'ala, when He created Firdaus, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala addressed this Jannat and said, Wa izzati wa jalali. Wa izzati wa jalali. I take an oath on my dignity and my honor. La yujawizuni fiki bakhil. I will never allow a miserly person to enter you. I will never allow a miserly person to enter Firdaus. If there was no other deterrent, this deterrent should be sufficient. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it haram that a miserly person should enter Firdaus. So with our ibadat, with our effort to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actively developing this quality of generosity, abstaining from all forms of niggardliness, miserliness, not feeling the plight and the hurt and the sentiment of the poor, only amassing the wealth of this world to take it with us in our qabr, where it's going to be of no benefit with us, not going to come to us with us in our qabr. We read the verses of the Quran, which Imam Nawawi rahimullah brought at the beginning of the chapter on poverty, on miserliness, wherein وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. The last part of that, وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ إِذَا تَرَدَّى. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, when Allah denigrates miserliness, Allah says, وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ إِذَا تَرَدَّى. When a person is falling into destruction in Jahannam, what good is his wealth now? He had the wealth in the dunya, he could have saved himself from Jahannam. He could have used that wealth to earn Jannat. He could have used that wealth by spending on the poor to get the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he failed. He failed. He hoarded the wealth. Because of miserliness, he clung on to it. He never used it. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ إِذَا تَرَدَّى. Now what good is his wealth to him? He left it behind. Allah gave you wealth.